everybody. Welcome to Babs Buzz. I hope you survived the holidays. I know I did. I do have a little bit of a cold, which breaks my 3-year streak of not being sick. I haven't had a cold in 3 years. I'm so bummed that I got a cold. I'm really glad to be talking with all of you again. I had a quick email meeting with Michael and my boss, Ed, and I talked to Ed. And Ed agreed that it's probably a good thing for us to talk about how the industry's changing so that you could be forewarned and forearmed. So we're going to get right to it. And the essence of what we're going to talk about really comes down to timing and tone. So I'm going to read a little bit from one of my favorite scripts, and I'm going to do Babs Blacklist this year, which is 5 of my favorite scripts, which I happen to all represent, that I think are fabulous and should be shot. And that I think, by the way, too, not to sound like a pure agent and a shark, but they're all money makers. So I'm going to read one. This one's called Florida. I'm going to read a couple of pages for you. And it's a really creepy picture. It's written, this is written by Jason Bortz and Kevin Haskin. Jason Bortz is you've heard him on Simply Scripts. He's a dynamic young writer. I'm going to read some of the beginning of Florida, because I want you to get an idea of why a script hooks a reader and how a script hooks a reader early on. We open with fade in and then over black. Opera music plays. Fade in. Interior operating arena night. A gloved female hand lifts and removes a blue medical towel from a tray of stainless steel and surgical instruments. A gloved male hand lifts a scalpel from the tray. Flash to black. Fade in. Exterior landscape later. Popular song plays from a boombox next to a couple making out. Flash to black. Fade in. Interior operating arena later. The scalpel cuts along the hairline of a patient. Blood flows the blade's incision until it's lifted. Flash to black. Fade in. Exterior landscape later. Things escalate with the couple. Flash to black. Fade in. Interior operating arena later. Preston Bryant, 40s, neurosurgeon, performs a delicate surgery beneath a small monitor. The patient's brain is now exposed. He is awake. Flash to black. Fade in. Exterior landscape hill later. The girl, Alexis, 18, stares at the guy, Curtis, 19. His eyes are closed. She bites her lip. Flash to black. Fade in. Interior operating arena later. Preston places the blood-tainted scalpel onto the tray and walks out of the arena through double doors. Flash to black. Fade in. Exterior landscape hill continuous. Alexis rolls off the blanket, staring at the stars. Curtis's eyes snap open. Crash to black. Now, when I first read this script, it was brought to me as I was reading it really as a favor for a friend of mine who was really quite lovely to me, and he needed some help with some stuff, and Jason was nice enough to help this guy who is a client of mine, and I read the script and I couldn't believe how good it was. And that was just the opening volley. I don't know if you could tell, but obviously that is written by someone with a very good director's eye. Now, typically you don't see a lot of fade in, fade out, fade in, fade out, crash to black, that kind of thing. But the tone was established immediately. There was an imprint. It was visual. You got it. We were going between an operating room and a couple. How they connect comes on pages 3, 4, and 5, etc. The point is, setting the tone early for 2011 is going to come down to setting the tone early in your script, and it's going to come down to timing. So what does that all mean? I'm so glad you asked me that. When you set the tone early on, you hook the reader. What does that do? Well, readers are very busy. They read all day long. But there's a couple of things that speak to tone that also speak to timing and the business in general. So I'm going to talk about timing first. And one of the things about timing is it's a drag, because sometimes you just have to wait. There are things that are in place that you may not see behind the scenes that speak to your endurance in this industry. I know it speaks to mine. And by the way, as I'm talking to you guys, I'm talking to myself. It tends to circle around who you depend on to get things done for you. Are you networking? Are you working the phones? Are you emailing? Are you phoning? Are you faxing? Yeah, some people still fax. What do you believe is going to happen? How do you think your life's going to change once you sell that script? You got to ask yourself these things. You got to have a business plan, because our business, show business, has a formula just like any other business, just like McDonald's, just like Nike. There's literally no difference. It all comes down to the bottom line, making everybody happy. Now, the thing about this day and age, however, is there are many hindrances to waiting, as you guys know. I mean, everything's the express lane, ASAP, drive-through, 4G, instant this, add water, stir, you've got a mommy. I mean, it's just the truth of the matter is when you get right down to it, we are not built to wait. But I am going to ask you to consider doing that when it comes to your writing. Don't pitch your script until you've had several read-throughs, a table read, coverage, beat it out. Don't pitch it. You're really doing yourself a favor if you wait. One of my clients just pitched me a script. She'd been working on it for a couple of months. And I said, as soon as I read the first two pages, I knew it wasn't ready. I just knew it. I know this girl's voice. I know it like the back of my hand. I kicked it back to her. I said, have a table read. I said, humor me. Have a table read. So she goes and has a table read. She comes back. I said, what'd you learn by that? She said, well, some of the semantics, da-da-da-da-da-da. She sends me the script. It's completely not this writer. She did something that she used to do years ago that she started doing again, which is not a good habit for a script that's got to be marketable. Well, what is that? She ignored some of the basic tenets of screenwriting, and one of them is this. You got to get into the scene quick. You have to, because if you don't, by page five, people are putting down your script and they're certainly not going to pick up the phone and call me. So I told her, I went over the first 30 pages with her. She was ecstatic with the notes. She's like, oh, this is just what I needed. Thanks, thanks, thanks. So I mean, it's humbling to be able to talk to someone who's that talented and to be able to help them. But like I said, be careful to who you go to for answers, because sometimes on the thread, I know sometimes people get a little too candid, and I will always be guilty of that. But I will only do that if you give me permission to do that. I also would like you to consider, as you're writing, remember you are writing a story. I was watching the other night Alistair Sim's Christmas Carol. To me, it's the only Christmas Carol that matters. Alistair Sim is amazing. The guy, if you watch his reactions to things, you could almost hear the director saying what he's supposed to say. But you also can tell something very obvious by the script, and that is it's riddled with story. Now, yes, there are a lot of icon appearances, you know, the Ghost of Christmas Past, da-da-da-da-da. But what you get from that story is you definitely get a story about this guy. Now, true, there is some voiceover narrative. They used that back then. They use it still now. I sometimes think voiceover is used too much, but it worked in Charles Dickens for obvious reasons. They had to give you a lot about this guy quick. But they did do several frame flashbacks for The Ghost of Christmas Past. You never lost the thread of the story. So you have those mechanisms, guys and gals, at your fingertips. You just type them up. If you need a frame flashback to set something up, do it. And remember the trick of dialogue and action. If the action's doing the heavy lifting, don't talk about the action, right? Don't be redundant on the page. If your dialogue's going to do the heavy lifting, let the action sit and take a rest for a while and let it set up like jello. I would also ask that you consider not confusing fame with success. It never should be, nor it should ever be about the money. It is not about the money for me. Yes, I will hip pocket. Yes, I'm a shark. Yes, I will jump on any deal when someone says to me, write up the deal, even if I don't like the script. You betcha. Oh, yeah. It's like being in Fargo. It's ice cold and you know it. I'm predictable that way. However, having said that, that's not what motivates me. That's not what animates me. That's not what's at my core. What's at your core? If you're thinking that you're going to have all of this fame and stuff, I would ask that you consider another business like I did earlier on. So what does that mean to you? Well, it means you got to have a little bit of timing, don't you? Well, what does that mean? When your luck hits, when Lady Luck decides to sneeze in your direction, well, yay, be ready. If she says, I want horror, you got horror. If she says, I want Christmas, you got Christmas. So you've got a little bit of an arsenal. Try not to fondle one script for a year. I don't think that's wise for you to do that. The current environment, well, I can tell you this right away. 2011 is going to be about this. It's going to be about shorter tempers. It's going to be about higher emotions. And multitasking has taken on an Olympic quality to it. There's such thin skeleton crews at so many of these places that literally everyone is paranoid about keeping their job, just like any other normal person out there. Well, what does that mean? Well, that means that sometimes you may get somebody on a bad day. please don't let that discourage you. Just find someone else who's willing to listen. Business really is formula. Script is formula. And because Hollywood and certain different companies in England and some in Germany, many in LA, some in Australia, not as many, a couple in China and many in Japan, they tend to be very cloistered communities. There's a lot of pissing contests that go on. People are paranoid. They like to protect their little rice bowl. It may seem anti-intuitive, but it definitely speaks to the instinct that they have about the business that they're in. You have some of them, you really have to look at them and go, wow, that was a good call. I understand Tron is terrific. The new Tron is terrific. This is what I hear. Now, I worked for Robert Light when he represented Frank Serafini, who did the first special effects with the first Tron crew. And I can tell you, it was a very tough picture to get done. And it was, you know, arguing back and forth and this, that, and that. But it got made, and now the sequel is supposedly really amazing. I'm going to go see it next week. So the point about that is they do put money into – they do bet put their money on bets on thoroughbreds. That's the word that came to me when I was doing my notes for the show today. Because the business is changing. You have to change the way you think. There's a wonderful Seinfeld episode. You guys have seen this, I'm sure, where George goes – where Lane says, you know, you should do the opposite. Whatever you're thinking you should do the opposite. I have to tell you, I used that as one of my tricks for one of my writers who writes very, he tends to lean on cliches all the time. I said to him, now, whenever you think of a cliche, I want you to do the opposite of the cliche. And sure enough, his scripts have gotten sort of a witty quality to them, and he's getting it. You know what I mean? It's really a fun little exercise. So if you know that going to the coffee shop and getting writing done is a slow process for you, but it does make you write, do the opposite. Go into your bedroom, set the timer, write for an hour and stop. Do something regimented rather than something where you can, you know, daydream. You know, force yourself to look at it as a business. And by the way, it doesn't have to have a business plan. Ed and I have one. Our goal is to send out at least one script a week. We succeeded in that last year by double. We actually probably sent out, I would say, over 52 weeks, we probably approached 3 scripts per week. We ended up with 6 options, 1 sale, and 2 huge budget pictures that we are still, and yes, waiting to fund as I approach another birthday. But here's the good news. If you're waiting for the good news, here it is. So I talked about tone, right? Tone in the script, tone in your attitude, tone in how you approach people on the phone, tone about the business. There's something else that's really significant. I think you'll like it. And thank God Michael sets a timer for me so I know how long I have to go, you know, with these shows, because I could talk to you guys for a really long time. I have a lot of stuff I want to share with you. If there was ever a time that someone with no track record could make it, it's now. I mean, and don't be a square peg in a round hole. You got to consider everything when you do this stuff. One of the things that's so great about this business is you've got all these different avenues. You have stage plays that you could do with small companies, and you could actually videotape them and make your own trailer. You could do trailers with graphics. You've got that. You guys have that Machina thing that you do, that computer, whatever that is that you guys do. That's kind of cool. I'm trying to convince one of my writers to do a very, very inexpensive trailer for a couple of $1,000s. I think it would really benefit his marketing program, and I'm going to speak about that with the 5 Babs Buzz blacklist scripts, the 5 scripts that I have that are just killer money makers. Yeah, guys, I'm actually going to do a commercial for some of these scripts this go around. But one of the things I find amazing about all of this process is how the process changes. I cannot keep up. Thank God a lot of my clients are so hip. I just signed a guy by the name of Greg Houghton. I may have mentioned him to you. I don't know if I did. If I didn't, let me tell you about him now. I think I may have mentioned to you I was part of this prize. You know, they give you like prizes. You get scriptathon analysis and all this stuff. And a half hour with an agent was one of the things that was given to this particular writer. And so I read a script grudgingly, and it was killer great. And again, I thought someone was punking me. And I thought, okay, let me see what else this guy's got. And he's got yet another one right behind it that's just as good, if not better. So I signed this guy, and I'm completely entertained by him. He's so talented. He is my indie writer with a feature. He is my feature writer with an indie edge. I do have a cold. Remember I told you, so I may have to flip things a little bit, but he's so good. He writes really great lines for actors. Actors are going to love saying his lines. Greg is very, very, his voice is very now, very edgy, very new, very fresh. His hooks are cool. He's really very smart. And one of the things I like that he does the most is he plays with scenes a lot. Like he does a little bit of symbolism here and there. He's not afraid to use props, which I really love. People underestimate the power of a charm bracelet or a pylon or any number of things. You'd be surprised what props they really, I mean, it was Inception, if you remember. It really came down to that, didn't it? That tiny little thing that DiCaprio's character would just spin. Props can do wonderful things. They can also carry a theme for you. It also gives actors something to think about, something to hold on to. It gives a director lots of visuals to play with. But I got off topic a little bit. So I was talking about how things can go viral with like Netflix and taping the videos. In this modern day technology with things going to 4G, if you're not picking up a camera and shooting at least stills, you may not be getting why your scripts aren't firing. When you can look through a lens and appreciate what a director has to do to nail a shot, your writing will definitely rally to that moment. I was reading today about Kurosawa, somebody I knew nothing about. The guy's amazing. You should look him up on Wikipedia. I had no idea that Kurosawa was as talented as and brilliant as he was. Now, I've not seen any of his work to my knowledge, but wow, what an ingenious look at directing, getting a shot done, and organizing his set. And it's just really amazing. Wikipedia has a wealth of information about that. I did get some stuff. I'm reading some nonfiction this season. I'm really glad about that. I'm reading a couple of great books. I also finally got a couple of things on CD, which I really like, so that I can listen to the books and not have to read them. I can actually do that in the car. But one of the things I notice about things going viral is that all of the people who are into the whole gadgetry thing, they know more about shooting little movies than a lot of assistant directors do. I mean, I watched this kid in a matter of 30 minutes assemble a trailer. It took him no time. He made up a little story, you know, and he did it. And I'm thinking to myself, boy, you know, writers really can have fun with some of this stuff. So you might want to experiment with some of the software that's out there and check out some of the things that people are looking at with the new technology to see if maybe it tickles your funny bone. Because maybe, just maybe, you're not a writer. Maybe you're a techie. Maybe you're an electrician. Maybe you're a light guy. You don't know what you don't know about your own skill set unless you branch out. If you say, I'm a writer, well, good for you. I happen to be a writer, too. I'm a novelist, but I'm also an agent. I'm also a rock singer. I have to do 6 radio interviews on Wednesday for the Canadian Broadcasting about one of my books, The Art of Regifting. It's hysterical. I don't want you guys as writers to be square pegs in round hole. I want you to try and fit in as many. I want you guys to be as adaptable as possible. That speaks to rewrites. That speaks to editing. I had a guy pitch me a script just last week. He won a first prize in a comedy. I'm ready to laugh. I read 3 pages and I'm like, what? You gotta be kidding me. The script was so bad. All I could think of was, okay, it's gotta be me. And then I remembered what Ed told me. One of the first things he told me, it's very subjective. I think Ghostbusters is funny. Ed doesn't even get it. He doesn't get it at all. One of my best friends thinks Hangover's hilarious. I didn't love it. So when you learn about these things and you're expanding your knowledge about writing and lighting and shooting and pictures, don't ever forget the fact that you're not, you know, you can be many different things at one time. Try not to lock yourself into just writing, especially if you find yourself hitting a wall with writing, which speaks to rewrites. I highly recommend you take a writing class if you're in a rut. I think it's a huge, great idea. I highly recommend it to all my clients. I tell my students all the time, stay fresh, do write, and do take writing classes. So the business is changing how in terms of financing. Very, very important. A lot of doctors, lawyers, and Indian chiefs are investing in films nowadays. So if you know them, talk to them. They might help you shoot a trailer. One of the things that's cool about doctors and lawyers and Indian chiefs is they really want to go to the Oscars. It's one of their favorite things to do. I'm going to talk about Babs Blacklist right now. I have my own. You know the Blacklist, you can see it online. There's, I think, 50 log lines, and it's very cool. One of the things about the Blacklist is he's very candid, the guy who puts it together. He tells you straight up, you know, not for nothing, but who knows why these movies aren't made? Nobody knows. It's a crapshoot. You know, it's like I said, I always trap lightning. I'm trying to trap lightning all the time. So five of Babs Buzz Blacklist this year go as follows. It was a toss up between Floored and Submission. They're both by Jason, but Jason wrote Submission by himself. And those two are toss up. I think they're both highly commercial viable projects. I think actually Floored has the possibility of being a kind of Hannibal Lecter-esque without the Hannibal Lecter weirdness associated with it in terms of a franchise. I think the Doctor having a recurring sort of Justice League bone in him would be pretty cool. Long Shadow Woman by Craig Clyde. That's one of the finest scripts I've ever laid my eyes on. It is beautiful. The story is amazing. Oh my gosh. It just took my breath away. I hope you did read it. We put it on Simply Scripts. Clyde, the writer, was nice enough to do that. Laser Bladers. I love Laser Bladers. Sorry, I do. It's my Tron. It's this rink. These kids go skating. This rink changes into nightmare. One kid gets kidnapped. The other kids have to go after him. The other, when they decide to use their courage, their inherent ability to team and band together and help, all of a sudden they get a blessing from this sort of dreamscape. So the dreamscape team helps them against the nightmare team, and it's so cool, and it's got so many possibilities. It's a happy meal with feet, I tell you. It's so freaking cool. Clause 13 is a brilliantly written script by Craig Say. Oh, and by the way, Laser Bladers is written by Robert Powers. Clause 13 is genius. It's pure genius. I don't know how he came up with it, but he came up with his... Craig Saban wrote Clause 13. Clause 13 is about a guy who pisses off a bunch of superheroes and they go after him. And it's how the whole story unfolds. The coverage I have gotten on this, the directors chomping at the bit who are dying to shoot this. None of them have any money. It's such a heartbreak. If this picture goes, it will be my X-Men. It really will. That's really, except it's inverted slightly, because the hero is the normal guy. Very, very cool. And then finally, Queen of the Mist by Richard Broadhurst. You know, Queen of the Mist is beautiful. In my mind's eye, I see Terrence Howard as the Carpenter, and I see Sarah Michelle Gellar as the gal who goes over the barrel. It's about the chick who goes over Niagara Falls and lives to tell about it. She does it for the money because it's really, you know, very, very depressed area where they live, very rural, very weird. But the B story, oh my gosh, I didn't see it coming. And also, there's so many Oscar-worthy performances that could be had if it's shot right. One of the things I love about the picture, however, is Richard Broadhurst's use of the elements. He uses the earth. He uses water. He uses the fiery sunset. He uses sound of the horse's hooves. As a gal who's one of the B stories is she's a rider, and she's a very free spirit. She's abroad, and she smokes, and she curses, and she's hysterical, and she's kind of this quasi idol to the girl who ends up going over the falls. And what happens is this woman is thrown from a horse and she dies. And so this is how the lead character, her name escapes me at the moment, the lead character, we'll call her Jane for now. Jane picks up her sword and decides, okay, this woman lived her dream. She lived the way she wanted. I'm going to do the same thing. But the time in the 20s, you know, the early 30s, women didn't do that. I mean, the challenges for the actress to bring an intense, ambitious fire to a female character who women weren't grown that way. I mean, we're not even comfortable till we're 40 anyway. It's the year, you know, 2010 going on 2011, for crying out loud. And so as you can imagine, the right director shooting someone like Sarah Michelle Gellar's face, and Sarah Michelle Gellar, in my opinion, can do no wrong. You just watch her in the Buffy series. The woman is beyond skilled. It's amazing that she sort of stayed in this kind of monster thing, but she can do anything. I have at least three scripts that she could do tomorrow. It would be an honor to get them in front of her. In fact, I did pitch her for Queen of the Mist. So those are my five. I do want to wrap up the show saying, please email me your questions. If you have any, I would love to answer them. Remember, you got to change the way you think if you want to get different results. It's really important that whenever you find yourself in a rut, and I do this myself. So remember, I'm talking to you guys, but I'm also talking to me. One of the things about a rut is you can get out of it. and try not to keep digging, you know what I mean? I had a really difficult December. We had a very hard year at the agency, but we got traction. It was so, an amazing, it was a comedy of opposites. We had all this wonderful success for the writers getting leverage and being read and getting great face time with the right folks, and yet nothing ever really gelled. And that is a challenge. But remember what I said at the start of the show. You have to understand there's reasons why we wait for things. Not everything we think that's in place is actually gelled yet. Maybe it's a test of our endurance. Maybe it's a test to see if we're depending on the right people. Maybe it's time to change direction, or the people we depend on need to be invigorated themselves. The point is, you got to believe that what you have is precious and lovely and marketable. You just have to be open to changing it and letting Hollywood and other people just ruin it for you. Anyway, I am out of time today. I really enjoyed the last 6 months with you guys. It looks like on the thread, everybody wants me to keep coming back. So depending on God's good grace and Michael's generosity of spirit in terms of time, I will keep coming back. We have a pitch fest in July coming up that I will be speaking at. So if any of you are in the LA area, I'll be in LA pitching. I have to hit 5 studios in 1 week, and that I think is in March. It's going to be a very grueling trip. I'll tell you all about that when I come back. And then I'm going to be teaching a screenwriter's class in March and possibly again in August. I'm going to have quite the year, but I've got some great writers. I'm hoping that you can learn from some of them. I'm hoping that you can learn from me, and I really do hope you can teach me some things. I learned some wonderful, great stuff from Phil. He's an amazing writer. I'm encouraging him to write a little more in a feature voice. I hope he does because he's clearly talented. Thanks for all of you for participating with the questions and answers. That was a gas. I had a good time with that. Remember, you have to keep writing. You have to keep rewriting, but ultimately you gotta live your life. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. Have a safe and healthy New Year. This is Babs Buzz. Peace.